Great, so we're going to move into our strategic planning agenda item. With that, Dr. Doctors, go ahead.
That's right. We always say it's the A team.
That's right, Dr. A.
We save the best for last. All right, so good afternoon, everyone. We are back to talk again about strategic planning. Just as a quick reminder, we did talk about this during the January board workshop. Today, we really just want to review our proposed new vision and mission statement. We're kind of tasked with that in January, as well as take a look at our strategic priorities and initiatives. Currently, we are in the middle of, we're at the end part of our current strategic plan, which is called Building on Excellence. It was extended another year, so the upcoming strategic plan will cover 2024 through 2027. And now I get to hand this over to her.
So, thank you, Andrea. So, the current strategic priorities and initiatives are the four that you see here. There's four strategic priorities. Ensure academic excellence, enhance student success, build community partnerships, and emphasize institutional effectiveness. And you all have approved these as the four to go forward. Underneath each one, we have three initiatives. We have one suggested change today we'd like you to look at, but otherwise we're going to be asking for your input on whether these should remain. I will just tell you, we really like it. Makes us happy when there's three in each category. So if you come up with seven for one and two for the other, I don't know if we can take it, but I know it's, it does make reporting a little more seamless, but really whatever you feel is appropriate to go in these categories. I want to just give you a few examples. I'm not going to read through all these, but under each of these strategic priorities, what kind of action plans did the college come up with for the last strategic plan? So I want you to see the evidence that these turn into very real things. So they sound rather lofty, as they should, but they come into being like real scholarship programs, the Falcon Nest. I mean, these are things that ensure academic excellence. There's a million of these. Andrew just went through unit plans and found some good examples. For student success, you can see the things like the sports teams that we just talked about, the residence hall. That is something that units at the college can report as being real plans and initiatives that built towards those strategic priorities. So once we decide on what they are, every unit at the college, how many units are there?
There are over 30
units. The supervisors of those units will be tasked with creating the real world initiatives that they'll put down on paper. They'll report mid-year how they're coming with them. They'll report at the end of the year how they did with them. And so you'll direct what sorts of things they come up with by approving the major, the high-level vision of the strategic plan.
I was glad that they did this because you think sometimes strategic plans, they look nice, they sit on the shelf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we really live, we start every year drawing down from them, and then this is the fruit. So you can actually see it, they work really well in guiding us to say, yes, this fits. How do we build community partners? There you go. With those types of initiatives.
So there'll be a unit out there that said earlier, I want to launch a new bachelor's degree in cardiopulmonary science, and then at the end of this year they'll say, we did. And and not all of the things come to fruition, but it gives them something to go on. Institutional effectiveness. This is one, for example, the cybersecurity training, number two there. This is a something IT puts in their unit plan. Everybody in the college should go through this cybersecurity training every year. They report, yes, we did. We got every full-timer through it. And so that's a very real thing we can point to on that. Okay, so with those examples, we start always with the mission and vision. And Andrea led you through the workshop last time, so I'm going to turn it over to her to talk about that.
Absolutely. So what we just heard was what happened with the last strategic plan. Now we're going to focus on what's going into our new strategic plan. So we talked in January. You guys provided some great feedback about our current vision and mission statement. We talked about he was lacking a little vibrancy, et cetera, et cetera. And so we convened a small working group, marketing, the foundation was there, enrollment, academics, so there were a bunch of us. And we've come up with two new proposed One Vision, One Mission statement. This was also sent out earlier, I believe. So we are, I guess, letting you see these. Hopefully they are not unfamiliar. And then we are looking for feedback as to did we fit the bill to make this a little less cookie cutter and more Daytona State, and would these be appropriate for thinking ahead that 2024 through 2027 vision for Daytona State?
So this is the part of the study.
I know.
That's good.
But I think, and the feedback, I remember, especially I think in the vision statement where it lends itself to make it, where you can't just swap out another college.
That was Randy's comment.
Right. Yeah.
And I think you nailed it. You did. This is something that really embraces the geography as well as the mission, differentiates Daytona State College from every other state college. You can't apply that to anyone else.
I think they nailed it.
Mr. Levi, did you have a comment? I don't believe I was part of that discussion that may have occurred.
You were occupied at the moment.
I was a little occupied at that time. So I guess really in the interest of seeking to understand, what I'd like to know, maybe just real quickly, what was the backdrop to, because it seemed like we expanded it quite a bit.
Kind of long.
It was long.
Yeah.
That was my initial reaction to it was, it feels long, and outside of tweaking a few things with the former vision, I didn't.
So my comment was back then that, what's the right way to say this? To me, a vision is really what you want to be, not what you are. And
yeah.
I would want our vision to be different maybe than a vision statement that any college could put up there. Any college could say we want to be known for excellent academic programs. I guess I wasn't thinking where we're located because to me, I mean, we're not going to move to North Dakota or Tampa. So my vision really isn't, I want to be located here because, I mean, we already are located here.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it is pretty long now.
Yeah, that was my concern. I didn't see where, I took out the located in the home of the world's most famous beach and epicenter because I thought it was too long. And
I did too.
I didn't think it added anything by having that. And then at the end of it, what we talked about, the last sentence, I added, contribute to a vibrant community in Volusia and Flagler communities. You had economy, and then I felt that Flagler and Volusia County should have been added to that.
What, you guys are experts. What's the difference between, sometimes it helps me level set. What would be your academic definition of what is a vision statement versus what is a mission statement?
It's exactly what you said. So the vision statement is really designed to always look ahead to the future, whereas the mission statement is what's going on right now.
Yeah, what's the heart of why we do business? And the vision, like, what do we aspire to?
So your mission statement to me does nail it. I mean, it's what we're supposed to do, right?
Yeah.
Education, innovation is at our core. We're open access, and we transform students' lives and the communities. I mean, to me, that's a pretty succinct.
Yeah,
I
like that. I just didn't see we need to put the geography where we were located. I didn't know what that added to our.
Did that come from Randy Dye?
Yeah, he wanted a statement about the uniqueness of the location. That we are different than other locations in
it. Yeah. So I think that's partly what we heard. So and is why you see that in there.
So it's interesting. So is it your vision that our academic programs would be the best within the state college system?
Yes.
Is it your vision that because of that thing, students from Tampa, New York, Miami would choose Daytona State? So to me, that's, I'd start nailing in on that. The mission's what we do, we all agree it's a great mission statement. The vision would be that we're, it wouldn't be worded this way, but we're so good at what we do, we're the top ranked, we're the best, we're the, you name it, we're a destination of choice for students looking for an affordable.
Very good points. Yeah, I could, because I kind of liked the uniqueness of that, the geography, but I get the point that it, when you're talking about vision, it's like, what are your standards?
Yeah.
It's almost what like you're aspiring to be.
Yeah, right.
Then,
And yeah, we're already here.
It can definitely be more, I don't want to say emotional, but visionary or, you know, a little bit lofty and...
Well, and yeah, I also like what Randy says.
Like, this is, you know, the little bit of the stamp of where we are, and then where we want to go is kind of what we did, I think, there.
And Randy, I think you said something, too, that at least this is the way I interpret it, and that is, you know, so many times you see these vision statements and mission statements that are full of buzzwords, corporate buzzwords, and, you know, the cool words of the day, you know, versus what is it you want to be, and, you know, how... What are you doing, you know, today? What's your mission today?
We wanted to be the preeminent college in the Florida State College System and a destination of choice for affordable education or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and
I probably would not mention Flagler, Lucian Flagler County, only because our impact.
Yes.
Because we want to be, we don't say too down first, but... Yeah, we are, our main mission is to serve the residents of this county, but it has expanded a little bit now with the baccalaureates and the housing, and that we want, if we want to be a destination, then it opens it up to everyone. You know, so I think you have community, that's fine, but community then could mean our whole country, you know, or the whole world.
Well, and also, and I guess that's where the economy, vibrant economy and community, I've jotted down a track and retain quality that helps us as a community in Volusia and Flagler attract and retain quality employers. Because we're giving them the workforce that they need.
Mm-hmm. We talk about, you know, kind of global perspective, but local impact. And it was something that we did talk about in our earlier review, is don't forget it's not just education and going on to get academic success, but you know, don't forget our trade, you know, and industrial types of focus, because we're producing, contributing economic opportunities for our graduates who may be welders or HVAC, you know, all of those things that are vitally important too. And I think differentiates us a little bit even more from some of our, like Santa Fe and, you know, Seminole and, you know, that are feeders for four-year institutions.
Yes.
But affordable, quality, and in-demand programs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. In-demand.
Yeah.
Okay. What's our...
Yeah, I like it.
So next January is when we will bring the completed strategic plan back. That will include this as well as everything else that we're about to do with focus groups.
So you can kick me, so I think, because that means we have some time.
We have time. Okay. We have time. Yeah.
It's due tomorrow, but
we
can't
go on to vacations, but we got time. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But is it just to give us some guidance? Everybody likes the mission statement, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Speak now, or it's short, succinct. It's what we do.
Yeah, it's just a vision.
And I was going to say, we are more than happy to take the homework that we gave you. If you would like to submit those worksheets to us, we can try to combine as much. I've got a bunch, but we can try to combine all the different thoughts that everyone had on these two. Yeah.
But I like it that we're good with the vision. So we can work on the vision and bring that back.
Perfect.
So, the vision... if in fact we think it's important to talk about the world's most famous beast. I would just say the epicenter for motorsports.
I think what you missed, yeah, sorry, going to this, to kind of, we are not really having a location in the vision statement.
I think you could maybe say something about in the home, it's more about the resources, you know, that are you can speak about the resources, but not necessarily, that's a Chamber of Commerce vision.
Yeah, I think the location and the racing and the beach is something we certainly could use in promotional things,
yeah,
but not so much as the vision of where, you know, as Randy Howard said, you know, where you want to be. Well, we're already here.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Okay, sorry I missed that, but yeah, as much as I am a fan of motorsports, as you all know, I don't know that it's part of what we,
yeah, to the vision and aspire to be. Yeah, so really, that's not exactly aspiring to be, because we already are.
We're here.
Yeah, we're here.
And okay. They actually wanted to change it to Epicenter of Songwriters Festival, but.
We'll make a note of that.
There you go. Yeah. We're going to compete now, huh?
Okay, so at the January meeting, the board confirmed the four priorities for our next strategic plan. These are great, you know, overarching, but what we'd like your input now on is those initiatives underneath each one. Are you good with them? Are there some you would like to, maybe it's that you don't want to change it, but you'd like to just convey to us, this one's a top priority and we would really like to see some great plans and ideas around it. Are there populations or partners that should be involved that you might want to mention? And what initiatives should we consider as top priorities? Basically, what are your high-level goals for Daytona State between now and 2027? So what we can do at this point is just take each one and put it up here, show you the existing initiatives, and ask if there is any feedback or changes that you would have under each one.
On the second one, provide educational programs and pathways. The one comment that I wrote down here too was with a return on investment,
okay,
for the students. You know, the return on investment that they get from their degree here, it helps, mm-hmm, their lives become better.
I think that's definitely a priority of the state as well.
Oh, no, I was saying the other hand.
I just had one other comment. The first and third, I had trouble making a distinction between them completely. And then I just thought generally, you know, like a hospital is, it's doctors at the end of the day. And I feel like an educational institution is, it's faculty, you know. And so I just didn't know if there should be anything about attracting, retaining, hiring, you know, best-in-class faculty, or, I don't know, curious, enthusiastic teachers. I don't know, I just thought the heart of what we're doing is that faculty piece at some level, and maybe faculty should be in there somewhere.
That's great. I like that one, yeah.
Yeah, we could add one about professional development support or support and development of the highest quality faculty, or.
And I know you only want three. And I appreciate that. So then I thought maybe, I don't know if there's a way to combine one.
I think
three.
There is. Yeah. Now that I
one and three.
That's a good comment.
And then you,
they are pretty
simple. I mean, you guys are the experts. I just, faculty seem to be noticeably missing.
Okay.
I just had one, or two quick comments. One is I would love to see the word quality, and you just use it.
Okay. Right?
Mm-hmm. About the faculty, maybe even about, mm-hmm, the academic programs in general. For some reason, I always hate the word sustain in strategic plans because it makes it sound like the status quo.
Okay.
You could probably just simplify that one and say offer high.
Okay.
I mean, that's what you want to do. Whether they're new, mm-hmm, or, mm-hmm, you want them.
All right. Yes.
I'm so excited y'all
used to work. This is amazing.
We did our homework.
Okay, thank you.
We were both faculty, okay, yes. So we like homework.
And I taught math, so you understand why I'm shocked at the behavior.
They're good students.
Yes.
And Randy's going for esports now.
So if we're ready, I'll move on to the next one. Good. Okay, on this one, taking feedback from Tom and from you all and discussing it a little more, we kind of are suggesting to change this last one. So right now we have provide students personalized program-specific career and academic support to help guide them towards their academic, professional, and personal goals. I think that will very much be reflected in the QED, that academic coaching piece. Leverage data and analytics to identify barriers and help students stay on a pathway. And then we changed foster a culture of collaboration among faculty and staff, because we feel like we already have that collaboration among faculty and staff, and instead say cultivate an engaging campus community to promote student success. And I think that really reflects the addition of housing and that the life it's brought to campus.
And new athletic programs.
Yes.
New academic plans, all sorts of good things.
I think, you know, moving forward, you know, with online learning and then the pandemic and things, that I think more than ever, the campus, the community engagement is, in my opinion, more important than it ever was. It's getting people back into that engaging environment. So I think we need to do whatever we can so if a student can come to campus for a class, they choose that option versus an online option. See, if we can do that, then I think we're doing something special.
Yeah, I'll tell you something else. I think that it's odd because the world has changed with, you know, the shortage of labor and what COVID and the political solutions to all of that, what it did to drive up the cost of labor. I think it's important that every time we talk about quality of education, which really is supposed to lead to a quality job, you know, the new normal, so once upon a time people actually did aspire, I think you would agree, to get a $15 an hour job when it was a $10 an hour general, right? We gotta make sure people don't get satisfied or complacent with a $15 an hour job. Right, we got to be talking about why, what their education is going to do. So I know you can't get specific to a number, but the point is that you don't want to do this for a $15 an hour job. You want a 25 to 30, 40, 50 beyond, like we talked about the diesel mechanic.
Right.
Yeah.
I think in the previous one, the comment about return on investment.
Yep. 100%. Yep.
Hey, Tom. One of the things too that what Randy just said really popped in my head about a conversation you and I had back, I think it was around January or so, with David Adams from our bank, and around the whole student housing piece. And one of the things that was interesting was he said there are places now where employers where they're not only looking at student housing, but they're also looking at workforce housing.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's almost a trip back in history.
Yeah. 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 And
yeah,
so,
back to housing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then to your point too, Kelly, in terms of, you know, attracting the quality teachers and professors and all that kind of stuff, and also just the staff as a whole, is that something too that we start to think about within the whole housing in general as an option for some people?
That's something we can draw down off of the other one that we talked about, the developing of staff, faculty, and part of that might be supporting them in that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a great change, by the way.
Yeah.
Community.
Any other comments on this one?
Yeah.
Okay. So building community partnerships. We have raised the profile of Daytona State in the community to increase awareness of the college's mission and services. Develop and maintain educational partnerships that expand pathways for students. I think that one will be a hot one in the coming years. Partner with the community organizations and businesses to increase student success, retention, and completion. thoughts or suggestions?
Just back to Randy's comments, that second one there might be a great opportunity to weave in the word high pay, but a much better word, expand. Lucrative is a bad word.
I know, I was just going to take it right, but I haven't.
Preeminent.
But there's probably a way to weave in there that we want pathways that are
for high wage jobs.
Higher wage earners.
Yeah.
Or we could use a word like rewarding.
Reward, that's a great choice. Because then it's, it could be benefits.
That's relevant to yourself.
Satisfaction. That's a perfect
word. You get into a philosophical discussion too about the missions of colleges and universities in general. And I know it's raging in Tallahassee and has been for some time, where it's sort of their funding and rewarding based upon career or job outcomes. So for certain degrees that lead to this or that, so engineering and whatever, but it's like, you know, the value of a liberal arts education is, you know, sort of cast aside. So if you're a sociology major or you're a fine arts major or you're a on and on, and divinity major.
Education.
Yeah, you suddenly are, you know, you're not fulfilling the mission of the university. Well, no, I would say that's exactly what the mission of the university is. So, it's a little different for Daytona State College, but I think it's important to talk about that rewarding instead of just gearing it towards certain job wage or professional success out there, because I don't think that's not an absolute measure.
We still offer, and I think we will always offer the child care program, a yes degree, and it doesn't pay the best, but it's rewarding to not only the person and the community needs it. So there are some of those occupations that are needed.
And theater.
Yeah, right. I mean, they're all needed, you know, in their own right, so.
Well, I tell people all the time, you know, it's not really, you don't pursue money. You pursue your passion. If you pursue your passion and you accomplish that, you're working in your passion, you'll figure out how to live on the money you make. If you're pursuing money, you're never going to have passion. You're never going to be satisfied.
And one thing we talked about at UF was, you know, you're going to learn more outside the classroom than you are inside the classroom.
Sure.
By your involvement, by your campus environment, your activities, and, you know, thinking about this esports thing, these gamers, you know, they'll get a degree in whatever they get a degree in, but they're going to make their money playing video games. That's the reality of how things are changing so quickly. But it's like, you know, it's crazy how things work out, but that's the reality.
It's flipping a little bit, but just on the raise the profile one, we've been talking about being a little bit more, I don't know how to say it, statewide versus, and I know we can define community a lot of different ways, but instead of in the community, could it be in throughout the state? Or do we not want to really openly compete with other, I don't know.
We could avoid it altogether, just say raise the profile of DSC.
Correct.
To increase awareness.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Just take out.
I just don't want to limit
things
us.
Things are better than they were, but there was definitely, so part of some, when I see a little hesitation, it's just the scars from.
But some of these programs are unique to us.
Right.
Like ABET,
I just don't want to limit
it. Not everybody has that.
I think
it's always been
it
that way. But we got, you know, we had a run there with a certain center that had an idea that we should just focus on being a community college. And so there was a whole feeling up in Tallahassee, but that it has changed, so I think, you know.
Well, a certain senator doesn't have the same position that he had.
No, he's no longer around. I do want us to be statewide, national impact, for sure, just strategically on how we do it. do it.
Do you have any statistics on what percentage of the residents that live in Volusia County actually attended here? Do we have any way to get that information? I think it's a pretty, that would be pretty powerful.
Yeah, we have.
The reason why I say that is I can't tell you how many times I ask, so I'm at the Hooligans. What are you doing? I go to Daytona State. Good. Where do you go to Daytona State for?
Mm-hmm.
You
know, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
We can come up. Yeah. We have, you know, our capture, you know, we know every year what our capture rate mm-hmm. is,
that's
which is very high.
Yeah.
What's the percentage of our cap? 60? Some odd percent. It's in the dashboard.
Yeah.
But when you think about that, that's like, that percentage is like 60 some odd percent of the graduating classes.
I just think, Tim's still here. No, he got kicked out. Okay. I think if you think about that statistic, it'll help you raise money. It's certainly a performance metric.
The MC
might have it. Yeah.
We had a study done that was the impact in the community in dollars.
Yeah, we did do a study.
And we can go back. It was big. I remember.
I have no doubt, but I'm just simply saying, I think it's if I'm going to present the value of a Daytona State experience, and as an institution, especially when you're out trying to raise $8, $10, $12 million. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, that's just a Volusia reply where I hear it all the time there as well. And
well, we should use that because, you know, at least you could do it, hopefully you could do it in two pieces and maybe you could combine them and the statistics work how they work the best for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can definitely take the community out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got it.
Looking at the second one, it incorporates. We talked about getting our communication out to our guidance counselors. I don't want to change it, but to somehow figure out how we go back to make sure that our guidance counselors are making their students aware of the opportunities of coming here, because you've got, I mean, nothing with it. If we hold workshops or go there or talk to them.
Oh, we do, yes. In fact, we host them here.
Well, I know we host them, but to go back and look at, there's something that the communication is not getting out.
But I think part of the problem is they do not have enough guidance and counselors in the school.
Yeah.
They don't. And the ones that they have pay particular attention just to certain kids. You know, every kid should see a guidance and counselor. You know,
we are in the schools quite often.
Yeah.
And that's why our capture rate is so much higher than the state average for high school graduates to come to us. But you know, we can certainly think of different ways where we're kind of hand locked with them, and we have brochure racks in every guidance counselor's office with our Daytona State brochures. We bought the racks.
Each year our numbers are increasing, so it shows that our outreach we're reaching our students. But
and
just
then you're going to raise the profiles. We tied to that too, Betty. I think the first would raise the profile. And raising it in the high schools as well.
Okay. All right. And the last one is institutional effectiveness. We have provide access to technology resources and ensure proficiency in the use of technology. Modernize existing physical and virtual spaces and reassess the need for additional physical and virtual spaces. And expand recruiting initiatives that attract qualified and diverse employees and retain employees by providing a positive work environment.
So my only one I want to recognize at the third point addresses some of what we talked about in the first thing. I just still felt like the faculty should fit in there somewhere. The only thing to me that was missing from this was just the fiscal soundness, which I think as a board, it's a very big responsibility and obligation for us, and so I didn't know if there was a way to pop it in there somewhere.
I'm sure there is.
in the first one, it's provide access to is pretty passive. I would like to say enhance technology resources.
Okay.
I mean, just, I don't know, it just seems like you're giving somebody a laptop versus, you know, you're really looking to enhance those opportunities.
We see more and more all the time in classroom, out of the classroom.
Well, yeah, well, kind of along those lines, I had excellence in online courses because we're always talking about our rankings there. Does that fall into this category? And if so, how do we
say that? Isn't that what ties into the academic one?
Academic excellence.
That ties to academic excellence. So, I mean, unless it's the backbone we can talk about, because we're more.
But I like what you said, Bob, in terms of the excellence and in terms of that.
Not to be the bad guy, but this initiative that the governor's office has with regard to the diversity and all that. And we covered that, two, 3 week meetings ago. It seemed like that while ago. When you look at that third piece of this, expand recruiting initiatives that attract and retain qualified employees by providing a positive work environment. Every time we enter that word, and diverse into this equation, it sends off all kinds of different signals. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt we're going to try to have the best possible people. Diversity is a part of our life. I mean, but it's not the reason that we're going to try to find somebody. We're trying to find the best person without regard. And I guess I'm questioning. If on one hand we're saying, we've got this initiative from the governor's office now, but we're going to put this in our, where are we?
Though, Randy, I think we got to be careful about what does that mean?
Yeah.
Diverse is not necessarily, race, color, religion, national origin, whatever. It can be your work experience, your academic qualifications.
Then because we all use the word today with a different definition, mm-hmm. right? I mean, more often than not, then I think another word might be appropriate. So maybe a different way to say it. And I don't disagree with you. Mm-hmm. I think you can't on one hand say one thing and then include it in something else. If it is about your background and where you come from and your level of education and the quality, and then we have to figure out a way to say that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can figure out a way to say that.
We didn't put in equity. That's the one thing.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I agree with that. Yeah, you're absolutely.
It's actually
right.
All three words.
Yeah, when you put them all in a DEI.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah.
But
we've had that conversation. We don't have to put a label on what we do. We do it.
Right.
Right.
We do it. Like me. We come to my place, it looks like the United Nations.
We just do it. So it's not going to change what we do because we do it. We can. I think.
I like the word. I think you said it. I mean, attract the highest quality workforce.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what we want. Right. I echo the fiscal one.
That's right.
I'm not even a finance person. All right, we're good.
You're becoming one.
Okay. Wow, well, we're good.
Thank you. Thank you. It's really good.
Yeah.
It did, you know it. Oh, the report out. That was part of the report. I didn't include it.
Everybody got one now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we're moving on to the president's evaluation. You see, Tom really needs a lot of work in B leadership. We're gonna make that a focus area this year. No, all seriousness aside, or all joking. obviously the evaluation is an independent assessment of all of our opinions, and you can see how our opinions are fairly unified, you know, with a whole lot of fives and just a handful of fours. So I just want to say, on behalf of the board, we certainly enjoy having you as president. It probably makes us sleep a lot better at night. We really appreciate all you do to keep us, you know, informed, great board relations, strong leadership at the helm, a sense of accountability, all the things that we would care about, I think. Our overall average of 4.96, so not a lot of areas to improve in, but I know you'll find some that you can always work on. So thanks for all you. Anybody else want to add a comment to Tom? And then I think he strategically is going to have to
pick the restroom
himself, use the restroom or something.
In a different building.
I have a comment. And this is not, I'm not being a jerk, okay? I think, honestly, at some point in time, you should consider actually putting pen to paper over. And you could use it in the college, I believe, or you could, it could become a book that you could write. But I do believe what you did and continue to do is remarkable through COVID. Somebody said, I hate even talking about COVID, but that time in our history when nobody knew what in the world to do, you didn't waver. At least if you did, you didn't let us know that you did. And I think for both, and I would say it's bigger than just the COVID label. It's worthy of so much more praise than just managing COVID. Okay, it was crisis management extraordinaire. I mean, it was. There were so many moving parts, so much we didn't know. Every single time that you moved, you created a new path. There wasn't one before you. There wasn't one for you to follow. There wasn't one to go, oh yeah, okay, I'm gonna choose this one or I'm gonna choose that one. Somebody's already done it. No, you created your own every time, and you never lost sight of the human factor, which was your staff, your professional staff, and the students. That's remarkable. Remarkable.
Thank you. You know, I'll tag along. excellent point, you know, and it does bring up something that, I mean, maybe this is a workshop or whatever, but I was wondering recently, might be a future LinkedIn post, but how many organizations have actually done a debrief on how they handled response to the global pandemic? And very few. I haven't seen any who have actually reflected on what they did right and what they did wrong. You know, but the leadership through that, outstanding. And again, it's sort of, I think about from our perspective, because I've seen not only this institution, but other institutions where you didn't have the continuity or the relationship and trust between the leadership and the board of trustees and what havoc that created. And, you know, I think about our responsibilities as being appointed trustees and how easy you make our jobs and pleasurable you make our jobs. Because our governance responsibilities, we have such great faith and trust in you and what you've done for us. So it has been a pleasure to be on the Board of Trustees because of your leadership.
No doubt.
Well, I just want to say that in evaluating a good doctor, you have to look at his background. And it may be that I'm a little bit averse to saying his military background, especially being in the Army. So he understands the things that he has to do.
Yeah.
And I can tell you from my perspective, that's the same way I had to act on my deployment. You got to look at that vision, and look at what you're supposed to do, and the main thing was to take care of your soldiers. So I had a little plaque, I have it somewhere, maybe up in my attic or whatever. It says, ignore your soldiers and they will go away. So it's your background in the military that has given you all the strength to persevere. And I thank you.
Air conditioning.
Yeah, I just got to work it out. Peeing on the
air, Tom? Get that work order in.
No. We're very blessed as trustees to have someone like Tom who's very transparent and make sure that we're kept in the loop of things that go on. And as you said, Bob, so many colleges don't have that type of relationship. And we know that we have a good leader. We trust you. And when things happen, you don't have to read about it in the paper or someone calls you up and tells you about it. Tom is the first person that notifies you, calls you, so that you have the information. So when you ask questions, you're able to inform. Because the worst thing you can do, someone asks you about what's going on, you have this blank look on your face. You know, then they want to start all the investigation because there must be something on. But Tom has been a wonderful leader. He came in, he had some difficult times to when he took over. There was a lot of stuff out in the community, and so we had to build that trust up again. And through his leadership, we asked him to get more involved with the community. He's done that. Everyone talks about Daytona State College and looks to us as one of the pillars of the community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I shared some of this with Tom one-on-one the other day on the phone, but I think beyond obviously the leadership part of it starts there, but also to the active communication style that you have is so important. And Betty just talked about not only with us, you can tell you're doing that same thing with your team. And then finally, the integrity piece, you just represent us so well. It's not something that we worry about at night going, did we have a leader with integrity? So oftentimes we see those leaders that become full of themselves and their ego, and it really does nothing but hurt the organization. And your integrity is just top notch in my estimation. So thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Okay. But I want to thank you all, because, without having a supportive board, there's only so much you can do. So I thank you for allowing me and my team to run. And although, certainly going through COVID was a challenge, but I kind of reflect back when I even thought about the run. There was 5 years before that we had great momentum, and it was part of my thought process, how do we not lose momentum during that time and keep it going while balancing people's personal fears and things like that and dealing with it. So I look back, we built a soccer stadium, built the student center, did all these, I had all these programs, and now someone, there's this force outside of anyone's control that's saying stop. And And I was like, no, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to figure out how to keep it going, keeping people safe. You know, so it was, I talked a little bit about that. I was asked to speak at Halifax's leadership and talk a little bit about the COVID thing, and there was no roadmap. And you just kind of, and I did mention at Halifax that I think part of it was the military background, that you just got to continue to keep planning and, you know, for that next move. And a lot of people don't know is that, you know, we bought out the local company that was producing plexiglass before anyone could get to it. We had bought out their supply so we could build stuff and get things moving. But again, it's board support that allows me to just keep my focus on making the college move forward. So thank you, and I do need to run to the restroom. Thank you.
Take your time.
Okay.
And mention my name and get a good seat.
Jeez.
At the first one.
There's one. Come out of that field. That sounds like something I say, Lloyd. You know, we just.
Well, what can I tell you?
Sorry that I brought you down to that level. I don't know what happened.
Great minds think alike.
That's right.
That time of the year, we also need to talk about Tom's contract. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we think he does a great job. I asked Tom to put together some data and some of the folks on his team. It's hard to compare exactly because everybody's contract is so complex. And if you go out and look at the, I mean, they're all public colleges, so you can request them or you can go find it. But the lists, the public lists, are a little bit dated. But the best I can determine, and I think if you ask Tom, he'd tell you the same thing. If you look at, we're probably in the top third in terms of size, but towards the bottom of the top third out of the 29 or so colleges in the system. And Tom actually was able to give me the contracts for 6 of the other college presidents. I think his base pay is probably appropriate or about where it should be. He's not grossly underpaid or overpaid by what I mean. So the 6 that I looked a lot at, they range from 277 to 337. Tom is the second highest at 327. The only one higher than him is Florida State College at Jacksonville, which is also probably another 50% bigger than Daytona State. It's probably the fourth or fifth biggest college in the system. So base pay, and we can come back to this, but he is probably within the realm of what the other college presidents are being paid. Last year, you may remember, we significantly increased his auto allowance to $21,000. Mm-hmm. Once again, that makes him, if you look at some presidents get a housing allowance, some get an auto allowance, some get both, some get neither. But that 21 probably is pretty competitive. There's you know, here's one at 12, 15, 37, 24, 9,000, 30,000. So again, strength and distance. The area I think that we really should improve on, and I think is the area Tom actually would probably appreciate us improving on, is his retirement contribution. And so a lot of the other state college systems have moved to, so right now we provide 15% of his base pay to a retirement plan. And there are some of the other ones that have moved to different types of deferred compensation plans or other structures. I think if you look at his pay, that 15% in a calendar year will be about, this calendar year, be about $50,000 that we're contributing to a plan. I saw a couple other colleges that have switched to a language I really like, which is basically that we'll provide a percentage that equals the IRS maximum allowable amount to a 401(a) plan, which this year would be $66,000. So that's an extra $16,000. Into a retirement plan, which, you know, as he says, as he gets, he's not ready to retire by any stretch, but every year you get closer, you think more and more about your retirement. So before we do anything else, that's something I would recommend, that we switch to that language of the IRS maximum amount. And that goes up every year, obviously, it's inflation adjusted, so it would be 66 this year, and whenever it goes up each year after that.
Again, if that was a motion, I'd second it.
Well, we have to vote on it at the.
I know. So meeting, yeah. I think I'm just on the analysis. You're spot on. I think that's exactly right. And
you know, being in a unique career transition spot myself. I know that Tom will soon be 58, and, you know, we hope that he stays and works forever, but your perspective does absolutely change. Yeah. And, yeah. you know, when you can't get way out of whack on salary and bonus and allowances, you know, that becomes keenly important to not just yourself, but your family, and the tie that it gives you too. It's not necessarily a golden handcuff, but it sure does help the stickiness and making a first person feel appreciated. And it's a long-term play, hopefully a very long-term play. But, you know, I think it makes all the difference.
I know that we seem to joined at the hip, you and I, but I think at the end, you know, to your point, the comment about we hope he works forever, I think at least we want to make sure this is where he ends his career, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I don't think, and I think we need to do, in these types of settings, this environment, make sure that we do everything that we can to do a couple things. Ensure that that happens, and then that will give him the confidence to help with the transition at the appropriate time,
yep.
right? So, and I believe he would anyway, but you don't want somebody to go, hey, let's see if we can get the last 5 years of Tom Labasso's professional life here in Oklahoma, right? So we gotta make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. A couple other points just before, because we do need to decide the base pay too. I asked him what is he thinking about, because a lot of times I know he's always concerned about his pay versus what he does for his people. Mm-hmm. He's thinking about pitching to us, like he did last year, a three-tiered salary raise. So the lowest paid employees would get 5%. That middle tier, if you will, would get 4%. And people that are making over $100,000 would get 3%. All other things being equal, there might be a couple, you know, unique cases. So I would also recommend, at a minimum, we give them a 3% increase to base pay, which would be that same.
So where's that put him in the list, then, Randy?
Well, I don't know what these presidents will get done this year.
Right.
That would move him to right about like 330.
Right towards the top.
Six, so he'd be tied with the top one right now. Of the seven I looked at. I mean, if you go to Miami-Dade or something, I'm sure they make a lot of money.
Okay. Then what would it do in terms, so I'm sorry, I know we're talking about Tom's contract, but what does that overall, his recommendation for the rest of his employees, what's that do to the budget? Is it?
It's doable. You may remember they used some of that HERF money to make
right,
it easier to maneuver.
Yeah.
So right now the House and the Senate have, and I forget the language, the extra funding that they were trying to get. I can't remember if it's 2% or whatever. Assuming we get that, we'll be pretty comfortable.
So it's almost a wash.
We should be okay, yes. The other thing folks have brought up before, just to make sure we talk about everything, we come back to any one topic. We've talked about a multi-year contract before. In the grand scheme, and again, I'm not the attorney, so the attorneys in the crowd can jump in here. The state of Florida, basically, you can offer a multi-year contract, and some presidents have it, but the most you can give him in severance pay, if you were to ever break that contract, is limited by statute. I want to say it's 20 weeks, if I remember, or something like that. But I think it sends a signal that we really like him as president. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm okay if you wanted to. We could make it a multi-year contract. It's still going to have that language in there that if we ever, in essence, dismiss him.
It doesn't stop the review process. It doesn't stop the opportunity for us to communicate, talk about it. And I think it does. I think we should. Whether you want to put the language in the contract that's where there's an escalator every year, or you know, but certainly I agree. Yeah.
I think there's another part too, and it's consistency. We're not on annual appointments. We're on multi-year appointments as trustees. Shouldn't the leadership of the, you know, be under similar multi-year?
You said he's going to be—he is or going to be 58. Which is it?
He will be 58 in October, I think.
What's your? What do you say? Multi-year. So, what is your thought?
You know, I think 3 years is probably reasonable. I
haven't seen any longer than that for sure. Okay. I've seen a couple, 2 and 3.
Yeah, I mean, you get into, you know, 5 years too long, even though we would gladly do it, but I think you that's too long. I think 2 years is sort of like, really? I mean, might as well keep an annual renewal.
I would agree with that. I don't like a 2-year deal at all. It's almost like a vote of non-confidence, in
right.
my opinion.
Yeah.
So 3 years it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we would still offer the increase each year.
Yeah, and the way that, as I understand, the way, and the new attorney, he'll draft it up for us.
Okay.
And then we'll review it.
You might have said it when you started. There's a one-time payment?
Yeah, so that's the last piece in essence. We also offered last year a one-time, and again, I think
kind of like a way to...
Yeah, I think you can't call it a bonus if I remember. Yeah, right. Again, it's another state statute.
Will that stay in it?
Yes, at least I would recommend it, certainly.
Okay.
Last year we offered him $30,000.
I just want to make sure he gets that.
Yeah, and you know, we could consider upping that a little bit.
Okay.
If we wanted to.
Okay. I mean, I'm
so you get a 3% base
do.
Pay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In theory, if his retirement would go up, you know, $16,000 or so, so that's another 5%, if you will, of his base pay,
right.
Whether it be in the form of retirement contribution. And then
we're covered. We've covered him and us by following a guideline, an IRS guideline. So
mm-hmm.
it's not even
yeah.
discretion,
mm-hmm.
right? It's just making
yeah.
sure. That's exactly it. It's the maximum. Secondly, I think his 3-tiered pay increase for the rest of the team is larger than the increase that we're going to suggest for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, we would be at the same level he would be suggesting for his higher paid employees.
Okay, but the 5%
would be not applicable.
Right.
Yeah.
So I what I'm trying to do is make sure we provide cover. Too, right? So if we get somebody out there that's going to start raising cane.
And I'm with you. I think that, you know, that yes, it is an increase to the contribution, but some other presidents already have that, and it's within IRS guidelines.
Yeah.
3% is what he's offering the rest of, you know, the team, and they've had a great year of performance.
So in the language of the 3-year agreement, are we going to put an automatic increase in? Or are we? How are you going to do that?
I wouldn't. I mean, that's just my opinion. I think every year we should reduce
yeah.
that. I think that's our effective, that's our job as the trustees.
You never know what's going to happen.
We'll put a statement in there that every year it will be reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
That you, it's
right.
not like
yeah.
this is
yeah.
your pay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm actually
saying. Because there could be other factors that make us want to go up on that percentage
yeah.
or down.
Yeah.
You never know. You just don't want to get locked in.
And are you suggesting, just to make sure I understood the comment that Kelly made in your reply, that we do the $30,000 or some other number we didn't discuss here today, one-time payment?
Correct. And that's typically paid the first pay period in July, if I remember right.
Okay.
Like that. So,
is the number $30,000, or are we going to talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm comfortable with 30, given the bump in the pay and the change in the retirement. But I'm also okay if somebody says, you know, we should send another signal and do 35 or something, just to make it
that's
higher than it was last year.
That's what I just want to say.
How do you think he would respond? Because, again, you know, the one thing that you don't want to do, you don't want to raise, you know, the flag, and so he becomes a target. You know, do you think he's going to say thank you and go on, or are we going to put him in a precarious position?
So I'll answer that two ways.
Okay.
I think on the thing he wants the most is the retirement. I know that.
I understood.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think if we went to 35, I don't think we make it a target. I think we can defend that.
Okay.
There are others on this list that have a higher, whatever they want to call it, one-time payment.
Mm-hmm.
Or incentive payment. And I think we can point to results and say, you know, look, we didn't stop during the pandemic. We're building buildings, enrollment strong. It's not like we went up, we doubled it or something. So I'm comfortable defending it,
well,
and I don't think it makes him a target.
The other thing is we compare him, so it's a competitive compensation package with his peers.
Exactly right.
Okay.
We looked at hard data, and we're not making him the outlier on the high end, but we're certainly realizing he's one of the bigger ones, and he's done well.
Like your idea.
We want to keep him.
There's no flashlight on the
head. Well, yeah.
There's no spotlight. But I'd say 35.
Okay.
Yeah, and a few of us here remember the early days with Tom Person. We had to do more significant increases.
Yeah.
Just to try to get him closer. Now at least we're making him feel like he is in the top quartile or whatever you want to call it.
Okay. Well, one last thing, and this may be for future discussion, or maybe it goes into the contract, but I think it's not too early to think about succession planning. And it's something that all leadership should talk about, at least on a,
Right.
Some companies it should be quarterly, some institutions maybe on an annual basis, but I don't think it's too early to start thinking about that. Like, what are his thoughts on succession if he got smacked by a Mac? Or if...
He's going to hire you.
Yeah, right. So, what... I just think that's important.
I do too. We certainly can have those conversations. We, as a board, we probably should know that.
Something.
Yeah, let's just say it was a health issue for a year. Who would he suggest is the interim?
Yeah, I have no idea. It's like,
I can guess, but I'd like to hear
you
say
it.
Well, that's for them.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a really good work.
Yeah.
Yes.
What are the thoughts on that?
I will ask.
For sure.
All right. So we got it. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah.
I'm going
to go find you. Yeah.
Hey, I got my head smacked, so you sit back down. I took one for the team over here, so okay.
That's why we put you by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. He hit me about 27 times, so I want to talk to HR.
They're not available.
Of course not.
We got to work.
All right.
We need work.
So, yeah, I mean, we can all take a look at this. I think the mission statement one is a great one. I think Betty mentioned last time we should look at it more often. And I think we've tried to throw it up a few more times. Mm-hmm. But it's always, and now this exercise we've just done, I think it will make it fresher in our heads.
FYI, my vote was not reflective of the question. My vote was that the mission statement was outdated and we were in the replant. It's FYI.
That's a great point. Mm-hmm. And so this exercise really has, will make an impact on it. Utilizes effective educational continuous improvement planning processes. So anybody that marked that one down, if they want to, anybody wants to make a comment on any of these, by all means, jump in. I think the one that catches my eye the most are the educational monitoring. If you look at a category, that's the category probably where we see not near as many fours. And I think it might have been one of the comments some of us made earlier today. I think it would be great if we heard more about the educational programs, the quality of our educational programs, how are they doing at workshop topics. We spend so much time talking about budgets, facilities, things of that nature, but at the end of the day, education is the mission. And then board leadership, obviously the one we did the worst on is the educational opportunities. I know Betty does a great job of representing us, and she probably is the most educated of the board members for sure when it comes to board member duties, and we appreciate that. But we all should probably try to occasionally do something to further our leadership. The advocating, that is one of our missions for sure, and I know it's different ones of us have different connections and we serve in different ways, but anything we can do to help advocate the board's needs is certainly appreciated. And so far this year we're doing well, and that's a great positive. Does anybody else want to make a comment on these? If not, I just want to say again, I've said it many times, it's a great board. I feel like anybody sitting at this table could chair the board. I feel like everybody sitting at the table makes a valuable contribution. I love the way that I feel like everybody can say whatever they want, and it it's okay that, you know, we work well together, and I just appreciate everyone's time and dedication. So.
I second that.
Yes.
All righty. With that, we'll go find our wayward patriot.